All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hey, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW-2 type helicopter pilot, Vietnam in 1969, United States Army. Welcome to our program. I'm really excited to have you here today. We're going to be talking to all kinds of different people. We've got representatives from the Bob Woodruff Foundation. We've got an interview with a local entrepreneurial center that's putting on a special presentation for veterans and veteran-owned businesses. And in the second half of the program, we've got a gentleman, 95-year-old pilot from World War II in Korea, who is going to be on and talking about his story. He's been working with the organization Operation Song. Most of you listeners are familiar with our relationship with them, and they've written a song about his adventures, so I think that's going to be kind of fun. But before we get into our interview, of course, I have to make sure we thank our sponsors. We can't do this program without them. And we begin off with Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans' disability claims. Give them a call at 800-693-4800. That's Legal Help for Veterans. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. You want to do business with the federal government and many corporations, they're looking to work with veteran-owned businesses, but you need to be certified. So these are the guys that can help you get your certification. Go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. We also want to thank our local veterans organizations for their longtime support, and that's the Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46 and Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. To learn more about these organizations and their services, as well as how you can become a supporter of Veterans Radio, please go to our website, veteransradio.net/our sponsors. All right. Two events that are coming up, as I mentioned before. The first one is going to be the pitch and showcase night, and I'm going to have that interview in just a moment. The other is the Veterans History Project is coming to town, and that is going to be on Friday. Here it is. That is going to be on Friday, December 9th at Eastern Michigan University, and I think it's the Hall Library, and it is from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. So all you veterans out there that have not recorded your stories yet, especially if you're in Southeast Michigan, this is your opportunity to get those stories recorded and archived in the Library of Congress so that generations from now, your great-great-grandkid could go into the Library of Congress, type in, you know, grandpa or grandma's name, and your story will be there. So this is, again, this is on Friday, December 9th at the Hall Library, Eastern Michigan University. For more information, you can go call Senator Peters' office, because he's involved with this, Gary Peters. His number is 517-908-0143. 517-908-0143. This is a great opportunity. You know, here on Veterans Radio, we've been trying to collect stories from as many veterans as possible over the last 20 years. And this is an opportunity for you. No pressure. You just go in. They'll probably have food and beverages for you, and you get to tell your story. They have a script that's all figured out with the questions that need to be answered. And it's a great opportunity for you. And as I mentioned before, the other thing is that the event being held at Washtenaw Community College. But what I want to get into right now is an organization that I've heard a lot about over the years. And I was turned on to them again recently by a good friend of ours, Brian Graff, who is listening in right now. And Brian has been involved with a foundation himself, the Graff Family Foundation, which has been helping veterans across the country for many, many years as well. But he turned me on to the Bob Woodruff Foundation. And now many of you may be familiar with the Bob Woodruff Foundation. He was a reporter for ABC. He was injured over in Iraq. And as a result of their experiences, I think, in the military hospitals and so, they decided they want to help out. So joining me right now on the line is the a member of the Woodruff family and also the chief development officer. And this is Dave Woodruff. So Dave, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. I'm just really fired up about what the Bob Woodruff Foundation has been doing for veterans and their families. So if I just gave them a little brief deep story. Could you kind of give us a little bit more detail on how this organization got started?
Absolutely. So when Bob was injured in 2006 on January 29th in Taji, Iraq, by an IED, none of us had really had any experience, his wife included, with the military, apart from, you know, having seen her husband go off to fight or to cover various battles going on all the way back to Bosnia. And so we got the call that he had been seriously injured downrange, and ABC at the time went into action, and they flew myself and my sister-in-law over to Landstuhl to intercept Bob as he was coming up from Iraq. And that was our first exposure to the military really at all, and to see how they operated. And from that point, when Bob was then airlifted back to Bethesda Naval Hospital in a coma, then we were, you know, immersed in that situation where we saw how the military took care of its soldiers, took care of its airmen, Marines, and et cetera. And it was incredibly impressive to us. We had, you know, great resources that we had personally as a family, but also that ABC provided, that we quickly realized that the service members that were in that hospital and around us didn't have that. We, you know, for the most part. And so they were alone. I mean, a lot of these Marines at the time in 2006, everyone knows, you know, IEDs were the big thing going on. There was a lot of injury happening, especially TBI, and they were being treated right alongside my brother, but we were able to show up every day. And, you know, after 37 days, and he recovered from his coma, you know, he was completely out for 37 days and started to recover miraculously very, very quickly. We had talked a lot about wanting to help these families that we met, or the soldiers that we had met, and the Marines especially. And I said, I have some experience in fundraising. I did some work with Children's Hospital of Michigan, a pediatric rehab. And I said, I can set something up and we can raise a few bucks and, you know, try to raise it based on Bob's, you know, celebrity, and give it to these families we met. And it, within a year and a half, the thing started to take off. We had this guy named Bruce Springsteen, who decided he would help us by playing a concert, and the folks at the New York Comedy Festival saying, we'd like to make you the beneficiary of the opening show for that event. And before you knew it, we were raising not just a couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand bucks, but all of a sudden millions of dollars. But most importantly, we knew right away that this was going to be kind of our family mission. Like I said, we never had any experience in the military. My dad, it's just, you know, he served during Korea, but beyond that, none of us had served, but we really, really saw the needs of these families for resources. And we said, we can help at any level. And now we've taken it to 16 years later where, you know, we're helping, you know, thousands of veterans every year. And it's incredibly satisfying work.
I'm going to ask, Brian to turn on his mic for a second here. And, Brian, you asked me to contact Dave about this. What attracted you to the Woodruff Foundation?
As I mentioned, Dale, one of my big passions right now is veterans. I like to do as much as I can. This last year, we had a family foundation that I've been president of for about 20 years, and we decided to shut our foundation down. And I was looking for more veteran groups where I could maximize our grant awards. And through a neighbor of mine, I was introduced to Dave, and it was God sent. Knew about him, knew about Bob, his brother, did some research on the organization and how we could, spread the word out, as well as helping veterans. There should not be a veteran that is being homeless right now or in need of food. Even medical care. The VA is doing as much as they can, but there's still more that this organization can do. And so our foundation made a substantial award to this foundation and want to do more for it.
Well, I I can't tell you how impressed I am with this organization. What are some of the things that you're able to do, Dave?
Well, I think, you know, over the course of time, like I said, when we first started, we were all about traumatic brain injury. And that was really the beginning of it. And we did a lot of work in that space, which quickly, as the war started to wind down a little bit, you know, the notion of PTSD and the injuries, the hidden wounds of war that we've talked about, I'm sure you've talked about a lot on Veterans Radio, Dale, became kind of the focus for us. We're a grant making organization. So what we do is we raise the money. We've been very blessed to be able to do that based on Bob's celebrity and great partners. And then we find the best organizations that are working with veterans in their hometowns, in their communities across the country, and try to help them not only fund them, but also grow them and help shape them, which I think is what one of the strengths of this organization is. We find the best in class orgs that are working locally. And so by doing that, we also have communication with them on an ongoing basis to find out what the needs are as they change and as they emerge. So over the course of time, we've worked in since TBI and then going into PTSD, helping folks that way. Housing, homelessness. We've worked quite a bit in the homelessness area. We've worked with organizations like U.S. Vets and Southwest Solutions, organizations like that. Food insecurity became a huge issue during the pandemic, as everybody knows. And we've done a lot of work in food insecurity, a lot of that based on our relationship with Craig Newmark, who's the Craigslist guy who became one of our biggest benefactors, as he believes that, just like Dale just said, no veteran should go without a meal. It's ridiculous. Employment, certainly, that type of thing. But right now, our focus is really honing in on health and well-being for sure, and building strong communities, because we've seen very clearly that when veterans, there's so many people out there that want to help veterans, and there's the numbers are all over the place, but 40,000 plus VSOs in this country. But if you work, you get them and bring them together and build a community, you know, like you look in the state of Michigan where I live and you guys are, we see the strength of convening. So building strong communities is important as well. And then leading by example, you know, thought leadership and trying to make sure that we're out there talking about veterans' needs, et cetera. So, you know, the 99% of people in this country who don't serve and haven't served and understand what that need is, and we can talk about it. That all that together is to say that this year, and, you know, it's interesting because Brian and I had a really, really great connection when we met, because he's dealt with this, and as has many Vietnam veteran, you know, era veterans, as you know, with toxic exposure. So this year, going into next year, we just announced in November our event in New York that we'll be leaning in very strongly on screening for cancer based on toxic exposure. So the PACT Act being as important as it was for veterans, it's now we're going to act on that, because there's a gap, and we're really good at filling gaps. That's kind of what we do. The gap between treating veterans who have been toxic exposed and identifying them, because there's no part of the PACT Act that accounts for screening. So we're going to try to help that process. And then the second part of our 2023 effort is a new one for us, but it's become very, very critical in the active duty space, especially, and that's mental health of military children. These kids who, and if you think about, you know, even in your own experiences, if you served, you know, moving from base to base, et cetera, that just uproots your kids. And in the course of, you know, the war on terror, et cetera, OIF, et cetera, multiple deployments and multiple, you know, so much time away from home has really, really affected the mental health of the children of military families. And that's not, we're talking about children. We're talking about, you know, well into their 20s, you know, kids that are affected by that. So that's kind of where our programmatic lean is. But, to do that, we have incredible partners, and we want to get the word out about what we're doing. So we can, our goal for the next 2 years is to double our impact, which would be amazing if we could do that.
Wow. Well, we were talking with Dave Woodruff of the Bob Woodruff Foundation, which sounds like sort of an umbrella group for other veterans organizations and veterans nonprofits, and how we can help, you know, not only eliminate homelessness, and as you mentioned, the food for veterans and the mental health issues for the families and so forth. There are so many things out there that you know, I'm kind of overwhelmed sometimes when I see how much that the American public wants to help veterans now. And, you know, I don't know what the real reasoning behind it is, but I'm thankful for that. And, you know, these young men and women that I am meeting through my work at a local community college is, you know, they're all really excited. They're all, of course, they're happy to be out of the service like many of us were, but, you know, they're trying to make that transition. And there are so many programs to help with that transition. And I was looking at your website, which is the BobWoodrufFoundation.org. And there's all kinds of things going on in here with, you know, I was looking at you. We've got your six now. What can you talk about that just briefly?
Yeah. So I think, you know, when we first found, you know, obviously Bob Woodruff Foundation and Bob Woodruff, the name of my brother, of course, who's still very active reporting in ABCs in Hong Kong right now, reporting on what's going on there. But as time goes on, people don't know the story. We're talking 16 years ago. So a couple of years ago, we worked with another organization that had the Got Your Six Foundation right. or brand. And we brought it in under the Bob Woodruff Foundation and kind of sat on it for a little bit. But knowing, you know, internally what that means to veterans in the military, Got Your Six, Got Your Back, obviously as an aviator, you know what that means. And we find that it's a really great way to not only kind of communicate more business to consumer, B2C, as opposed to B2B, which is like the Bob Woodruff brand. But importantly, it's becoming the rally, kind of the enduring promise of our organization to have veterans' backs. And we're able to do that now because we've created, I mentioned convening, we've created a Got Your Six Network, which is, and it started about 4 or 5 years ago with this incredibly horrible name, which we quickly replaced by Got Your Six, which was the National Veterans Intermediary. But the intent was to try to, bring, you know, to bring together all these organizations that are doing great work so veterans can find them and, right. and then work with them and get their benefits and find out where the help is. And so we've created it now. We have over 3,300 veteran service organizations that are a part of the Got Your Six Network through about 140 coalitions. So we have them in every state, Puerto Rico, and it's now the Got Your Six Network. And this is important, I think, as, you know, for our outreach and for people that are listening, you know, we reach over 12 million veterans out of the 20 million veterans in the U.S. through the Got Your Six Network, which makes us the largest non-governmental network of veteran service organizations in the country. And that does two things. It allows us to actually identify, you know, organizations that we could do, you know, work with on the granting process and help build and help thrive. But also we get that two-way communication with the folks that are doing the work out in the field to tell us what's coming over the horizon, because we feel a lot of pride in identifying those issues that are coming versus what they've been. And that's where some of this, especially the mental health and military children's thing is coming from, because we're hearing that's a high, you know, need, a very high need in communities, but these organizations are not able to meet the need. So that gap is what we're really talking about and trying to address that. So that's what Got Your Six. And it is the commitment of ours to be there for veterans.
I love that Got Your Six thing, because we've talked about that at our local meetings and so forth, where, you know, when we were active in the service, we had your back, you know, while we were, you know, in combat and so forth. And now there are so many veterans that need help that we figure that, you know, we've got your six now, where we're looking out for you. And all of these organizations, as you point out, those are incredible numbers. I'm really impressed. But I think we need to talk more about all this off the air to find out more about what is going on with your organization. I think it's let me get to the end here. So what are we going to do? How can we help out? How can people help out the Bob Woodruff Foundation?
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of ways. Obviously, you know, and I'm the chief development officer, so I get to go out and, you know, find the money, right? Which is always, and you know, thanks to people like Brian Graff, which I'm incredibly indebted to for his support. you know, anytime you can give to help veterans, that's a wonderful thing. And we would love that. Our website's set up for that, of course. We are expanding our presence outside of the, you know, the Northeast is really where we started. So there's going to be opportunities for volunteering. There's also opportunity that just came up that I do want to talk about, which is buy some coffee. I mean, that sounds a little strange. Just last week we announced, or it was announced, that Tom Hanks is starting a brand new consumer products company called Hanks, and it's starting with coffee. You can buy coffee online, and all the proceeds, net proceeds, will go to four veteran service organizations: ourselves, Student Veterans of America, the Headstrong Project, and Higher Heroes USA. And this is the same model as Paul Newman did with Newman's Own. Yeah. I think it's going to be incredibly successful. So there's so many ways to help veterans out there. And we love the idea of sharing that success with other organizations that we're close to. We help the original funding for SVA, actually. So it's kind of wonderful. We've been working with Headstrong for a long time on the mental health side. So that's ways to do it. But I think the other thing is, like, I you know, we all, especially those of us that haven't served, always want to thank veterans for what they've done for us. I think a great way to do that is to obviously, you know, make a donation to any veteran service organization, whether it's us or anybody, because I think it makes a statement. But I also think it's like, I like the idea of saying thank you for your service, but really I think it's saying thank you for our freedom, because that's what veterans gave us. That's what veterans protect. It's our freedom. So
yeah,
I would say that's the message for the holiday season here from where we sit.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And I think we all of us that have served realize that. And I think, you know, we keep trying to get the message out to our civilian audiences out there that, you know, it was our honor to serve, and it was our duty to serve. And that's the way most of us react to the question of thank you for our service, or thank you for your service. And I always tell people it was my honor. And I think that's kind of interesting. Well, I want to thank you very much, Dave, for being on Veterans Radio today. The website is bobwoodrufffoundation.org. You can go there and donate money, and then they'll spread it. You know, it's like a rainstorm. It just spread out over the veteran community. And I hope that many of you out there, if you're looking for some place, you know, where you know your money is going to go to a good cause, this is a place to go.
Thank you, Dale. All right. I appreciate it.
I know. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dave. I look forward to it. Thank you, Brian, for tuning in. Thank you for hooking me up with Dave. And we're going to take a real quick break here. We're going to do our little Medal of Honor segment, and then we'll come back with another story. So you are listening to Veterans Radio. We will be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Captain Louis Millette was wounded by grenade fragments, but refused evacuation. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
While personally leading his company in an attack against a strongly held Korean position, Millette noted that the 1st Platoon was pinned down by small arms, automatic, and anti-tank fire. Millette ordered the 3rd Platoon forward, placed himself at the head of the two platoons, and with fixed bayonet, led the assault up the fire-swept hill. In the fierce charge, he bayoneted two enemy soldiers and boldly continued on, throwing grenades, clubbing and bayoneting the enemy, while urging his men forward by shouting encouragement. Despite vicious opposing fire, the whirlwind hand-to-hand assault carried to the crest of the hill. His leadership and personal courage so inspired his men that they stormed into the hostile position and used their bayonets with such lethal effect that the enemy fled in wild disorder. During this fierce onslaught, Millette was wounded by grenade fragments, but refused evacuation until the objective was taken and firmly secured.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative, Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and I thought that was a great interview. The whole thing about the Bob Woodruff Foundation is just really interesting to me, and how they're able to, you know, to utilize their name recognition to raise all these funds to, you know, to help other veterans. And that's what we're all trying to do. I love the idea of Bruce Springsteen, being a Jersey boy myself, of course. You know, as I at the top of the program, I talked about a couple of events that are coming up, and I really wanted to point out this one. This is going to be at Washtenaw Community College, and it's coming up on this coming Tuesday, December 6th, and it's going to run from 5 until 9, or about 5:15 till 9 o'clock, it says. And it's a veteran business development for veterans who have are either already in business or are veterans that are transitioning and want to start their own companies. So I had the opportunity to talk to the director of the Entrepreneurship Center at Washtenaw Community College, and I had a chance to talk with her earlier in the week. So we're going to play that interview right now as soon as we get it set up. And then we'll come back and we'll have our next guest, which is going to be Richard Stroud, the Korean and World War II veteran. So, Derek, are we all set? Okay. So we're going to talk right now with Michelle Gillette. And Michelle, as I mentioned, is the director of the Entrepreneurship Center at Washtenaw Community College in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So here we go. All right, we're back here on Veterans Radio, and my special guest for this little segment of the program is Michelle Gillette, and she is the director of the Entrepreneurship Center at Washtenaw Community College. And I was really excited to find out more about their event that's coming up this coming Tuesday. It's called the Veterans Business Pitch and Showcase Night. So, Michelle, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Delighted to be here.
So I saw this poster in my classroom, and I went, wait a minute, I got to find out more about this. So what is going on here at Washtenaw?
Well, the Entrepreneurship Center at Washtenaw Community College has partnered with the Michigan Veterans Entrepreneurial Lab. It's a program out of Grand Valley State University, and we've run this program in partnership. What's happening on Tuesday, Dale, it's the culmination of a three-month program that veterans or veterans' families could apply to attend, that really walks them through all the steps of creating or growing their entrepreneurship business.
Okay, and so when is this and where is it?
It's Tuesday, December 6th. It's at Washtenaw Community College's campus at Garrett's. Garrett's is located in the Student Activities Building, and it starts at 5:15 with a showcase, and the showcase is going to be the entrepreneurs sort of in the lobby there showcasing their projects, and everyone is welcome to attend, and people from the public can vote on their favorite. So the person who gets the most votes wins the People's Choice Award, a cash prize of, I think, $500. And then the actual pitches start at 6 p.m. And that is when the entrepreneurs will pitch their ideas. We have a judging panel, and there's a total prize package of $20,000 that the veterans can win.
Wow. That's a great program, it sounds like. And where is the funding coming from?
The funding is coming from a variety of sources, but mainly from the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund. And then people can go online, of course, Michigan Veterans Entrepreneur Lab, and find out all of the information about all the funding, all the information about the training, in case future people might be interested in the future.
I think it sounds like a great idea. I mean, we're always trying to promote ideas for transitioning for veterans, of course, from military to civilian life. And then, of course, now you've got this idea of helping them develop and promote their business ideas or their actual business.
Absolutely. Well, this is the 10th time this program has been offered by Grand Valley, and this is the first time it's been offered in Ann Arbor. So it's been an incredible experience for us at Washtenaw Community College to partner and to really meet and work with these incredible group of veterans. There's a variety of fantastic projects from well-being, healthcare, food products, manufacturing products, just every kind of idea you can think about. And the stories of each and every veteran is just incredible, absolutely incredible. And so I'm sure if people come to the pitch night on Tuesday, they'll get to hear all about these wonderful ideas and most importantly, meet this wonderful group of veterans.
Well, I'm excited. I'm hoping I can make it myself to see these men and women that are going to be pitching their business ideas. So again, to remind our audience, this is on Tuesday, December 6th. The showcase part of it starts at 5:15, and the actual pitches are at 6 o'clock. And you get to vote on who wins the money.
You get to vote, and also dinner will be served. So we're going to serve dinner to everyone who joins us as well. So lots of fun all around.
Awesome. That is great. So I want to thank Michelle Gillette, who is the director of the Entrepreneurship Center at Washtenaw Community College. One more time on the calendar, write down December 6th. That's Tuesday from 5:15 to 6 o'clock is the showcase. The pitch is from 6 until 9. It's located at Garrett's, which is right on campus in Washtenaw Community College at 4800 East Huron River Drive, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48105. I see here that you'd like to have people RSVP if possible.
If possible. They can go to our website, WCC and Entrepreneurship Center and RSVP. But please don't be bashful about coming. If you're in the area, can come last minute. Please join us.
Okay, we will do that. So thank you very much. It was a pleasure to meet you. And until next time, until you next have your next event, we'll be heading out to Washtenaw on Tuesday.
Terrific. Thank you, Dale.
My name is Richard Phillips Crowd, Sr. I was born in Bottom, Texas, 1926. At 15, I soloed in a Piper Cub airplane and joined the Navy when I was 17 during World War II.
How do you fly a Piper Cub? You're 15, not old enough. Speed down the runway, lift her up. Is that how you do it? How'd you join? Where did you sign? Lay your life on the line. You turned 17, never looked behind. Like nothing to it. One day you're South Pacific bound, machine gunner. Next day you're racing through the clouds. Kinda makes me wonder, how do you live to be 93? Fight your wars, make it home alive in one piece. You say you started with a dream, out of plain silver wings. 18 months of learning how to fly. Oh, but anyway the wind blows, you gotta have a good co-pilot.
In 1950, the Korean War broke out, and we were put on an aircraft carrier. Then one night, the carrier was in the middle of a hurricane. Waves were coming up over the flight deck. I tried to land on the carrier, and there's 9 cables across the deck, and I caught the 9th cable.
How'd you land that Navy plane on a carrier in a hurricane? 40-foot waves, that's insane.
time or two. Without him, you wouldn't have survived. I guess anyway the wind blows, gotta have a good co-pilot.
The Admiral of S-42 was standing there, stuck his hand out, and he said, "Son, I'd already kissed you goodbye."
When they wave you off the last six times, you're lucky seven, nine cables down, you hit number nine. Thank God in heaven, how do you live to be 93? Fight two wars, make it home alive in one piece. You say you had a helping hand, but you're playing on the seats one man. You just smile and point a little higher and say anyway the wind blows, you gotta have a good co-pilot. You know anyway the wind blows, you gotta have a good co-pilot.
Told the Admiral, I said, "That was not me flying that plane, that was my co-pilot." He said, "You were in a single engine plane, you didn't have a co-pilot." I said, "I sure did. My guardian angel was doing the flying that night."
Well, that song is being used to introduce our next guest, and the song was produced by Operation Song, which is out in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's a group that takes veteran stories and turns them into songs just like that. So right now, I want to welcome Richard Stroud to Veterans Radio. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be. I'm 96 now. I'm glad to still be here.
I know. I was trying to do the math here, but it was getting such high numbers. I didn't want to embarrass you. How does it feel to have a song written about your adventures in the military?
Well, that's I think the idea is a great thing. There's a lot of history that's getting lost. It's not written in any books or Google anywhere, so. I think this is a better way and probably a faster way. The more people will get to hear it.
I think so. And so let's tell our audience a little bit about your story, because based on the song, it seems you served not only in World War II, but also in Korea. What did you do in World War II?
Well, actually, I was graduated from high school in May of 1944, which is 1 year before the war was ended. So the law back then was that on your 18th birthday, you got drafted in the Army. But if you wanted to go in the Navy, Air Force, or Marines, you had to volunteer while you were 17. My birthday was on September, and that's when I would be 18. So that summer, I volunteered for the Navy because I wanted to learn how to fly. And so I took a whole bunch of tests and passed them all real good. And then they said, "Well, we don't have a quota for any pilots now, so we'll have to train you some other way." So they trained me to be a machine gunner that sits in the back seat of a SB-2C hell diver, which is a dive bomber. And so I went through that and got my wings for that. And I was on the way to Southwest Pacific, and I was trained in Florida. And when I got to Florida, the war came to an end. So, laughingly, I said that I won at Guapo's because of the war ending, but because I was a sharpshooter from Texas. I could flip a dime up in the air and shoot a hole through it. And going through flight, gunnery school, one of the tests was to go in the skeet range and shoot at 300 clay pigeons one at a time. And I was the first one in the history of the Navy to hit all 300 of them. So, Emperor Hirohito said, well, that sharpshooter from Texas is headed this way. I give up.
Yeah, I think he must have heard about that. Wow, 300 in a row. That's an amazing thing. All right, so we'll skip that. You kind of lucked out, you know, being in, at that point where you didn't have to go overseas, but you did have to, you were called. You did you stay in the Navy, and that's how you ended up.
I could have. They were all of them were, you know, released from inactive duty. All the Navy people, and but the. I checked and found out that they did have a need for more Navy needed a need for more pilots, so they looked at my record on the scores of the tests I took, and they said, "Were they all real good?" They said, "We'll send you." Into this program. It's called the V5 program. And they sent me to college, University of Texas for 2 years. And then I went to Pensacola, Florida, went through flight training and got my wings. And then I was transferred to Quonset Point, Rhode Island, to the squadron BS-32 that I was assigned to, and we were assigned to a carrier, USS Cabot, and we were training, and the Korean War started, so there's another carrier that was up there with some of my buddies that I went through flight training with. One of them was Jesse Lee Brown, the first black naval aviator, who is has a movie going right now called Devotion. So everybody, be sure and see Devotion. It's very good, and that's those two pilots, Jesse and Tom, were my closest friends. So,
So you were stationed on the East Coast, up in, you know, around Connecticut area. And there were two aircraft carriers. We talked about this earlier, and you said you thought that you were going to end up going to Korea, but you didn't. Because there was some secret mission that your aircraft carrier was put on. Could you talk to us about that?
Yes. Just before we were got ready to leave, the FBI contacted the Navy Department and said, "Hey, we have a big problem on the East Coast of the United States. There's a 12-mile international limit that no other country can come inside without permission." But we were at war with North Korea, and Russia was supplying North Korea, but we were not at war technically with Russia. So anyway, the Russian submarines were coming inside, letting spies off, and would come back later and pick them up. So the FBI wanted the Navy to see what to do about it. And of course, my squadron, 24 pilots, that's what we were trained for, was for anti-submarine warfare. So we started cruising up and down the East Coast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And anytime we caught a Russian submarine inside that 12-mile limit, we sank it.
Oh my! But nobody knew about this mission, correct?
That's correct. It was so top secret that, like I said, we had 24 pilots, and we always had two in the air, one with a radar on it to find the submarine, and the other a killer plane to sink it. If they sank one, those two pilots knew it. But if they came back to the carrier and mentioned it to anybody, even another pilot, they'd get court-martials. So That's how top secret it was. And nobody but God knows how many we sank. But
it was a few.
I do know that we did.
I think that's great. I mean, these are history lessons that we didn't learn in school, that's for sure.
Right.
In the song, they mentioned your attempt to land during a hurricane. Can you kind of revisit that story with our audience? We're talking with Richard Stroud here. He's a Korean War veteran.
Yes. The war was in 1950-1951. In 1950, there was a hurricane named Fox, F-O-X, that went up the East Coast. And one night, I only flew at night. I had better qualifications than some of the pilots, so I only flew at night. And when I and came back that night, and also, you know, it was wartime. We couldn't use our radios. The carrier couldn't call me to tell me that, hey, don't come back to the carrier. Go to a land base somewhere. By the time I got to it and realized how bad the weather was, the wind was 140 miles an hour, and the waves were 40-foot waves, and the carrier was rolling 45 degrees from side to side. And the captain of the ship next day said that if the carrier had rolled one more degree, that it would have capsized it. It was turned upside down, and it was sunk. So
wow, that's scary. I can't imagine trying to land on something that's moving like that.
And also, since it's a wartime, the carrier could not turn on its running lights. There were some special lights that were in the deck. A row up and down each side that we could see from the air, but the submarines, you know, couldn't see from the water. So I always had to land in black, situation too. So it. By the time I realized it, I'd been up on patrol for 8 hours. So I looked at my fuel gauge, and it was sitting on empty, and it's just a hair from B&E, and I calculated to the nearest land-based runway, and I didn't have enough fuel to make it, so I had to land on my chair that night.
How many times did you attempt to land before you finally got down?
Well, I made six passes and an LSO, the landing signal launcher that helps wave me in. The deck was either completely covered with water or else the ship was so unlevel I couldn't get my wheels down and get my tail hook, to catch a cable. So he gave me a sick wave off, and on the seventh one, it was level enough, and he gave me a cut, and there's nine cables down the deck to catch your hook on. I caught the ninth cable.
Holy mackerel. I can't imagine that. And you're the captain of the aircraft carrier had a few kind words for you, I guess.
Well, actually, it was the admiral of the carrier that of the task force that was, he was up there watching in the tower part of it. And when I stepped in and out of my airplane, he was standing there getting soaking wet, and he stuck his hand out and he said, "Son, I'd already kissed you goodbye." So, as far as I know, I'm the only naval officer that's ever been kissed by an admiral. But I told him that, I said, "Well, that wasn't me flying that plane. That was my co-pilot." He said, "Well, you was in a single-engine plane. You didn't have a co-pilot." I told him, "Yes, I did." I said, "I had my guardian angel." When you go to the Bible and you go to verse Psalm 91, verse 11, it says that God will provide angels to take care of you. And boy, I really needed one that night, and he got me on there safely.
He got you down, that's for darn sure. Wow, that's great, Richard. I wanted to encourage our audience to go to Operation Song, because there is they can listen to your song about the good co-pilot on their website, and it's a neat song. And you're just I'm so pleased that I had the opportunity to talk to you here on the program. I'd love to talk to you longer, but we're coming up against the clock here. Can I get you to give me a 1 minute story?
I'll tell them if they can go to YouTube and select good co-pilots.
Right.
And they can hear my song anytime.
So, I think that's a great opportunity for people to do. And Richard, I want to thank you so very much for being on our program today. It's Richard Stroud, and he's been working with Operation Song, and the song that they wrote for him was about his good co-pilot. Just to review, he landed on a ship that was rocking 45 degrees one way or the other and almost flipped over, and he finally landed. It's an incredible story, and you certainly did have a guardian angel there, Richard.
Well, thank you. I sure did.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you for calling me. Thank you.
All right. We'll be in touch. I'd love to talk to you again. All right. We're coming up on the end of our program today, and I just wanted to make sure that I reminded you of a couple of events that are going on. The those of you that want to listen to the song, it is, the link is on our website, as is the link to attend the entrepreneurship, I don't know what you would call it, the entrepreneurship program for veterans businesses. That is also there so that you could respond to that. Again, remember, that's on Tuesday, December 6th, and I think that you might enjoy that. The other thing, of course, that I wanted to remind you of is the Veterans History Project, which is going on at Eastern Michigan University on the 9th, which is the upcoming Friday, and that runs again from 10 to 2, and it's in the main library, the hall library, on the Eastern Michigan University campus. So check these things out. Hey, you know, all of you out there, make sure that, you know, if you have a story or an event that you want us to cover, contact us at Veterans Radio. Just send me an email. It's dale@veteransradio.net. And we would love to hear from you, especially those of you that are out in Minnesota and California. We'd love to be able to include you in some of the stories that we do. Also, to remind you is that Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we are on the air because of the generosity of you and some of our other friends out there that have helped us stay on the air. So until next week, this is Dale Thornberry for Veterans Radio, and you are dismissed.